Welcome to Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope, where each week you will find yourself feeling loved, inspired, and encouraged in your life. Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope will place a smile on your face and warm the cockles of your heart. Tune in each week, Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope. That was Joe Cocker, You Are So Beautiful to Me. I want to welcome you to the show. This will be the show number 2 of 4 until my career at Blog Talk Radio ends. I want to welcome all of you who are listening in the chat room and on the switchboard and in the archives on your iPads and iPhones. And I hope you'll tune in September 10th at 7 o'clock. I'll be doing a 3-hour show for my finale show and call in and ask for prayer or share some inspiring stories or how Mama Joyce's shows have impacted your life, hopefully. And I want to welcome also Olivia, who's listening to my show tonight, and hopefully Eric and Drew out there. And Chaplain Steve, and I'm going to make some announcements, and then we'll get on with the show. First of all, I would like to ask you to please support Blog Talk Radio. They have premium services at reasonable prices, and they help others like Mama Joyce get their messages out to the public and have shows that help others stay informed of world events as well as ways to help yourself and others. Sign up for a free month to test it out and tell all your friends as well. It's fun and easy and a great venue to network and connect with people from around the world. Also, there's a very dear friend of mine named Chaplain Steve, and he is a Christian bail bondsman, and he also is a workplace chaplain. Chaplain Steve, he was a former hospital chaplain with a master's degree in theology, and Chaplain Steve can help your loved ones through life's challenges. You could contact Chaplain Steve at 1-800-539-6143 or visit him at sandiegoworkplacechaplains.com. He also, like I said, is a bail bondsman, a Christian bail bondsman in Southern California and San Diego area. So feel free to contact him if a loved one needs to be bailed out of jail and maybe went down the wrong path, but he can certainly help turn them around with God's love. And also, the gentleman who does the intro to my show is Matt. He's got a webpage, mattspeaking.com. And I have a webpage, angeloflovministry.com. We want to also always support New Directions on Wilshire Boulevard, October 23rd, I believe it is. They're having a wonderful fundraising event, and I hope that you'll check them out there on their website, ndvets.org, O-R-G. That's ndvets.org. Check them out in October. They have a wonderful fundraiser for, they help all the veterans that come back in Los Angeles there to get back on their feet and, you know, and get the care that they need and the love and help them get, you know, acclimated back into society again. It's very difficult, folks, when these precious ones come back. We need to support them 100%, and the veterans' benefits need to really, really change and support them. You know, they spend money sending them overseas to fight our country. Well, they should just give them at least that much, if not more, benefits when they come back and not make them wait months for the care that they need. I'm really adamant about that. So please support ndvets.org. Also, I'm connected and affiliated with hopemill.com with Pearl Huber. She's a wonderful CEO of a nonprofit organization that helps our homeless veterans as well as homeless in the community, surrounding communities in the San Fernando Valley here in California. And she puts bags, they get these blessing bags with all kinds of toiletries, hats, Sterno, and food and water and things that the homeless need, you know, to live on the streets. And Mama Joyce, you know, I get those and I put them in my car and hand them out, as well as my son Eric. And I also, she puts them together in the warehouse and puts them into the hands of those who distribute them, like Mama Joyce. So that's hopemill.com. Check them out and also support our precious veterans and our firefighters and our military, all of them. So having shared with you all of those wonderful announcements, I just want to thank you once again for coming to the show. I hope you enjoy it and you love it. I've got some inspiring stories for you and some music to play. And towards the end of the program, I pray for anybody who needs prayer. You could call in at 1-347-850-1527. I don't give readings or anything like that. What I do is I pray for people. If God gives me a word for someone, I bring it forth. Otherwise, I simply pray and let God move in your heart and hopefully your life, and you can draw close to Him. So having shared that, I just once again, I wanted to say thank you for coming in the show tonight. And once again, October 30th is Walk for Warriors at the Beverly Hilton in Los Angeles, California, Beverly Hills. And that's going to be for the veterans. Also, I don't know if Bottom Line Fighter is going to be listening to any of my last shows, but hopefully he'll get the message and pass it on to the guys in Afghanistan and Iraq who listen to Mama Joyce's shows from time to time and realize that September 10th will be my last show on Blog Talk Radio, and God will be moving me forward into something different, perhaps, and something that will be helpful to people. But you'll be able to access all of my shows on Blog Talk Radio in the archives. Just simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Joyce List, L-E-S-T, and you'll get to all my shows then, and you can listen to them at your leisure. Having shared that, I would like to play this this clip for you. It's about a homeless man, and he wants people to know that he's not a bum. He's a human being. A lot of people who think people who are homeless are bums, or they give him a stigma of something that's very hurtful. But this man is definitely not a bum. And let him share with you his story.
My name is Ronald Davis. I've been on the street for about a year and a half now. Well, I come from the suburbs. Life, you know, which is rough. And I mean, I didn't sleep in the Lower Wacker. I didn't sleep on the bridges. I didn't sleep in little cardboard boxes and stuff, you know, just surviving. Especially in the wintertime is the hardest time. And like, I go to a few lot of applications for a job and stuff. They look at me, you know, I'm not looking presentable. And then they, well, we'll call you, leave a number. But how can I leave a number when I don't have a phone? So it's just a struggle out here, you know. I just, you know, from day to day, people, I come out here and panhandle with my cup right here at the Metro train station. People come off bringing me sandwiches and stuff like this here. And I start out in my morning about 6 o'clock. You know, sometimes I don't even have enough to go to the flop house. You know, sometimes the flop house is a cheap place, and they number $16 for 24 hours right over there on Clark and Van Buren. And a lot of times I don't have enough money for that, so I had to end up sleeping in the park or on one of these benches downtown or something like this. And then the security guards come and run you off about 5 or 6 in the morning. So by 6 o'clock I started panhandling and trying to survive. And like I said before, some days I don't even have enough to get a room, so I just sleep on the street. But I depend on the people that's coming off the train, because most of them, I give them respect. You know, most of them like me. They come out and give me clothes and food and stuff like this here, so I can survive. Give me a few bucks and everything, and I add it up at the end of the day and get me a little room for the night. And whenever I'm not fortunate enough to get the room, I just sleep in the street wherever I can. It's really humiliating to be shaking a cup 24 hours a day, and people just look at you like you're some kind of little bum, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I have had people to walk past me and say, get a job, bum. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not a bum, I'm a human being. And it's hard. But after the end of the day, When people go home and everybody get on the Metro train, and then then I just feel so bad that I can't be going home. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's really emotional, because I'm really trying to get myself together and get off this tree. You know, and I don't care what it's doing. If I can get a job and through this humidity. You know, I mean, you just lose all your humility when you're shaking a cup begging. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can look at a person and tell if they give you respect or not. You know what I mean? A lot of people look at you like you're just a piece of crumb, you know? I had one guy walk past me and talked about me so bad, and then I just looked at him. I said, God bless you, sir. He walked past and went down the street, come right back. And he said, you know what, man, I had a bad day. He said, I'm sorry for even calling you that. He said, because I know you're a human being. He said, would you accept my apology? I said, apology accepted. He went in his pocket and gave me $30 and said, go get you a room and get you something to eat. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, no matter what people think about me, I know I'm a human first. And just because I'm down on my luck, don't give nobody no excuse to call me no bum. Because I'm not.
See, folks, I play things like that because there's such a hurtful stigma on homeless people. You know, a lot of them, they say, well, they're out of their minds or they're on drugs or alcohol and they want to be that way or they choose to. But you know what, folks? You don't know their story. You don't know why they're on drugs. You don't know why they're on alcohol. You don't know why they checked out of life. And you don't take the time to know. You just say, give them bad names and be hurtful to them. You know, I'm not saying that you should put yourself in harm's way and try to help somebody who's cussing or spitting or flailing their arms or anything. I don't mean that. But you can certainly pray for them, and you certainly can not say unkind things, because you never know what somebody's gone through. You know, there's been a time in my life, in Mama Joyce's life, where I had a lot of struggles. I had a very low self-esteem issue because of the way I was raised, literally without any human love or support system. And but I used to sit on the porch when I was 7 years old of the front porch of my parents' house and cry out to Jesus. Now, we didn't speak about Jesus in my house because I came from a Jewish background. But I believe he drew me to himself, and he had his hand on me at a very early age. And even though I went through a lot of things, there were times in my life I said, gee, where are you, God? You know, I wondered because I was suffering so in a lot of ways, sometimes by my own choices and decisions, and sometimes it's just what life dealt me. But the thing is, through everything I've been through, it made me more sensitive, more compassionate, and more loving and understanding to those in our world who are broken and hurting and slip through the cracks. You know, it's so important that we take time and make priorities the brotherhood of mankind and loving each other and helping each other and learning to forgive. You know, how much does it take? What does it cost you to say a nice word or to something nice to somebody who might be hurting? If in your office or on the street or at the grocery store, you know, anywhere you go. And you know what? Sure, we have our own problems. Sure, there's floods and fires and earthquakes and all kinds of challenges all over the world. But our focus needs to be on a relationship with God and his son, Jesus Christ, because they teach us the attributes, the characteristics of how to live in this world with love and kindness and forgiveness. Okay? You know, I have every right to be bitter and nasty and rotten and mean, but we all have the choice as to how we're going to behave and how we're going to spend our time on this earth. Are we going to be a part of the solution, or are we going to be a part of the problem? And I, for one, Mama Joyce wants to be a part of the solution. So I've used my show the past 8 years, hopefully, to inspire and encourage other people to become loving and kind and to be forgiving and to make time for people who are hurting. You never know whose life you may save when you say something nice or you take time to listen to somebody who's hurting. You just never know. And what a wonderful world it would be if you could leave a legacy of love in your life instead of hatred or hurting people or pointing the finger or judging somebody. We are to love one another and help each other and learn to forgive. And I can't reiterate that enough. I'm going to play this next song for you because it really rings true with how we should live our lives. And this man from many years ago sang this song, Jimmy Durante, Make Someone Happy. This is what we need to do, and concentrate and focus on this, folks.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you. You sing to one, smile that cheers you, one face that lights when it nears you, one girl you're everything to. Fame, if you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you've found her, build your world around her. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. And you will be happy too.
Isn't that beautiful? And it's so true. Because what you give, you get back. So wouldn't it be wonderful to give love and light and happiness and joy and goodness instead of evil and hatred and hurting others? You know, that's what we need to do, folks. We need to put our focus back on God. You want to learn what God's characteristics and attributes are? Go to the Holy Bible. Read about how he intercedes and interacts with his children, and David in the Bible, and Moses, you know, and Joseph. He was with them every step of the way, and he's with us. He's with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, you know. So keep that in mind. And this next clip I'm going to make I'm going to play with you is everybody has a story, and this is about a veteran here, my precious veterans. And do a little shout out to Bottom Line Fighter and all the military out there overseas, and even the ones here in the States. God bless you. Mama Joyce prays for y'all every day, twice a day, and I love you, and I hope to meet you in person someday.
Come on, man. Hup, hup. Keep moving. That's it. Slow and steady does it.
The Oregon Trail Interpretive Center shows what life was like for the first settlers in Baker Valley.
Keep the pace up, Johnson.
And how I wish those pioneers were still here today.
Here's the exciting part.
Because I could have used a good team of oxen to pull a story.
Eric Colton.
Out of this covered wagon.
You're not the most outgoing guy.
No.
You don't say a whole lot.
I'm awful shy.
Like one or two word answers kind of thing.
Yep.
Chatty cowboy here.
Am I supposed to look right into that thing?
No.
Lives on a 4,000-acre ranch with his equally camera-shy wife, Darcy. Their daughter, Shelby, and their son, Talon, who they swear was not adopted. Eric and Darcy met in school, and true to form,
you realize how strange this is going to sound to most people?
I know.
He proposed.
I guess it would.
On the phone.
What about a ring? What'd you do with the ring? You what?
I sent it in the mail.
Uninsured.
But she got it.
Yeah, she got it, all right.
The letter folded in the box said, howdy. He starts every letter, howdy. How's my fiance?
I should probably explain. Eric isn't that shy. He was just never around here. After high school, he joined the Marines. Lived in California, Japan for a while. Came home briefly to get married. Yes, he did see her for that. But then left again on a 7-month tour of duty that gave him the story of his lifetime.
Well, I think probably every day. Sometime a day I think about it.
Eric fought in the Gulf War and was one of the first ones in to liberate Kuwait.
In some of the villages, they had women and men just murdered right there in their lawns and still laying there.
For a guy who's not a big talker, this is perhaps his toughest subject. And yet, to really know Eric, all you have to do is stop for a minute and look at the flag. Look at how he placed it so prominently in the center of his yard.
I'll sit out here on the deck and watch it. It's a good sight.
This is a guy who joined the Marines, not as a career or to learn a trade. His reason was that plain, old-fashioned one.
I feel it was my duty.
And maybe that's why. If you ever go to the George Bush Library in College Station, Texas, if you go into their Gulf War exhibit, you'll find there, encapsulated in Mylar, preserved forever, a letter from a soldier that begins, Mr. President, howdy. The library picked that letter over the thousands of others sent by soldiers because they say it was one of the most sincere and simple. We will not let the American people down, Eric wrote. As a United States Marine, Mr. President, I promise you and the rest of the country, we will win this one.
I've never been a big believer in you had to talk to get across to somebody. It's what you do for them. There are certain things you do. Just as good as words.
And that's how even a quiet man can speak for a nation. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Baker County, Oregon.
Isn't that beautiful? You know, I love playing clips like that. We need to support our military and our veterans. And if our government is having trouble with supporting them when they come home, there's plenty enough people who are affluent and who have the resources to help these precious ones and meet all of their needs. Mama Joyce would like to open a green-built ranch and have people who believe in the same thing that I do in helping these precious ones and supplying everything they have need of for free. I know they have the VA, and the VA does the best they can, but it's not good enough, unfortunately. And the system needs to change. They need to be able to have care right away immediately when they come back and have all of their needs met and have the state-of-the-art medicine and procedures that they need. You know, folks, it's so important that we uphold our nation with prayer and love and truth and honor our veterans and our military and support the families that are here while their loved ones are overseas fighting for our freedom and be available to them. Maybe give them groceries or give them some respite care. Let them take some time away from the kids and get some, beauty shop done, you know, and help them. There's plenty of people in the United States that can step up to the plate and reach in their pockets and be in a position to help these precious ones. And I'm petitioning you and I'm asking you, Ellen DeGeneres does a beautiful job in helping people and our precious veterans, but she's a very high profile and she's got a lot of money, but there's a lot of people who aren't high profile and do have a lot of money, the people who won the lottery and the people who've been very blessed to have revenue and resources, and they sit on it because they're afraid. They're afraid to spend it because maybe somebody will want more or it'll be like a bottomless pit. But you know what, folks? We can't take it with us. And the more that you can better this world and help people, the better off we're going to be. You know, there's a big difference between religion and Jesus and the relationship. And there's this guy, Jefferson Bethke, that has promoted Jesus. He loves Jesus, but he hates religion. And he's going to tell you why. And I think people can relate to this.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it he called them fools. Don't you see, so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let him in? See, remember, he was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention. How Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different claims. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man, which is why salvation is freely mine and forgiveness is my own, not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. And he absorbed all your sin, and he buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, come on, there's room. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, I believe he meant it.
Amen. And you know, that's so true with organized religion today. A lot of it is not about relationship, not about the gospel or the word of God, but it's an entertainment. anymore, you know, and it needs to change. I know one true church that I'm sure there's more out there, but one true church that really does the work of the Lord and share the gospel and live it is the Dream Center in Los Angeles with Matthew Barnett as the pastor. And, you know, that's a fabulous church that is the hands and the feet of God. You should check them out sometime. There's another clip I'm going to play about the veterans, and this is just something very, very special. I hope it'll minister to your heart.
I'll never make it out of here alive. Remember saying that? Well, we did. We came back. Why us? Was it just luck? I used to think so, and I didn't really care why. Just glad I came back alive. As much as I hate reliving it, the memory of that terror is forever in my mind. I'm going to die, and I am going to hell. What kind of God would allow the horrors of war? Nothing made sense anymore. Sure, I'd grown up in church and heard about God, but never really got it. I even made a deal with God in the face of death, still felt empty, dead, and numb. I vividly recall the day, the exact moment. All seemed suspiciously quiet. Suddenly I heard a strong voice call to me, "Frank, let's go." Not seeing anyone, I immediately followed anyway. A split second later, the spot where I had stood was obliterated, along with half the platoon and my best friend. Just luck. One day it dawned on me, is it possible that my coming back alive was not just luck? Was I brought back by God? Did He spare me for a reason, and if so, why? No one knows better than we vets that this world is seriously screwed up. Things are not as they should be. Some call it sin. That sin in all of us is what cuts us off from God and hope. But thankfully, several years after I came back, I learned that His answer to the horrors of war and death was His death in our place. It was like Jesus willingly went to hell and back for us. He offers a clean slate and peace with God to all of us who choose. Is it possible that God brought us back, truly miraculously, because He has something for us, like a second chance? One more opportunity to respond to Him and His offer of life. Sometimes it seems so simple, hard to accept, and we resist. We can do it without God, don't need Him. Or perhaps you felt, like I have at times, beyond redemption. I finally realized that we'll never understand God's love and acceptance, yet He never asked us to understand. He just said, reach out, ask, believe, receive. No special religious ceremonies, what a relief. No magic words, no good deeds to impress Him. Just me alone, reaching out to God now. And He reaches back. Because He wants me, simply me, crap and all, as I am. Jesus Himself said God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not go to hell, but will have life forever. That is not just luck. It's a plan that was set in motion long before we were born. And maybe He has brought us back for just this reason. I choose to believe Him, my only hope. And as one grateful veteran to another, I hope you do, too.
Now, God bless our military and God bless our veterans. Like I said, they need our support. They need our love, our time. Make them a priority. Need to make them a priority, and their families and all those who serve. We need to find ways to help them. If our government can't help them, like I said, then we need to find ways as a people, those who are in a position to reach out and help them and pay for their food, pay for their medical care, whatever it is they need. We have a broken world, folks, and prayer is a very good thing, but we have to put legs and feet and hands and arms on prayer and be God's hands and feet. He will provide for us to do that. But we need to be willing to do that, and we need to hear him and listen to him and remember that we're children of the living God and remember who we are in him. We belong to him, and he loves us, and he cares for us. And like I said, like it says in Ephesians, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. This next song I'm going to play is I Will Trust in You. And even though you may not see seas part or the mountains moved, we're just going to trust in God, because you know what, folks? The more you trust in him, the more you have faith and you're in his will, the more your life will be blessed. You'll be a light unto the nations. We want to be a light, not darkness. So I'm going to play this song for you, and it's called I Will Trust in You.
Letting go of everything, go dream. I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When
because, you know, folks, we need to trust God. Sometimes it's hard because we don't know what he's doing or the way he's going to do it, when he's going to do it. But we have, that's where trust comes in, and he gives us grace when we fall short. It's so important to get to know God. He loves us so much, and he's all about love. He sure is. You know, he really cares about us and for us. I want to play this clip, this next clip, and then we're going to get into some prayer. And if you have any prayer needs and you're in the chat room, you're welcome to share your prayer needs, or you could call in at 1-347-850-1527, and we'll take your prayer requests, and Mama Joyce will lift you up in prayer. If you're shy and you don't want to ask for prayer, God knows your heart. He sees your heart. And I will lift you up anyway and ask God to meet whatever need that is. So, of course, pray for our precious military veterans and all those who are hurting in our world. So this next clip I'm going to play is about this guy who has an alcohol problem, and he was in the service. And this judge sentences him. Listen to the story, folks.
Sometimes the best way to help someone who has fallen into a hole is not to throw them a rope, but to climb in. Steve Hartman learned this on the road.
Inside the county courthouse in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Judge Lou Oliveira made headlines with an unusual decision.
You may be seated.
A few years ago, Joe Cerna was arrested for drunk driving. As part of his probation, he wasn't allowed to drink. So when he lied about a recent urine test, the judge felt he had no choice.
I gave Joe a night in jail because he had to be held accountable.
It was just one night, but as he entered the cell, Joe says he knew it would be one of the longest nights of his life.
When I walked into the jail cell and they closed the door behind me, I started feeling this anxiety.
It came back.
A flashback.
Retired Army Sergeant First Class Joe Cerna did 3 tours in Afghanistan and has 2 Purple Hearts to show for it. The Green Beret survived an IED and a suicide bomber. But he says his scariest moment was the night he was riding in a truck with 3 other soldiers.
What happened? We were following the creek, and the road gave way. And the vehicle went in the creek.
Truck started filling with water?
Yeah. All hope was lost.
Trapped and unable to move, Joe felt the water rising, past his legs, then waist, and neck, until finally it stopped at his chin.
How many guys got out of that truck?
Alive?
Yeah.
Just me. I was a sole survivor.
Joe says it still haunts him.
So I suffer from PTSD.
Among his issues, a fear of being in small, cramped places.
I knew what Joe was going through, and I knew Joe's history, and he had to be held accountable, but I just felt I had to go with him. I felt I had to go with him.
And so, a few minutes after Joe was locked up, Judge Lou Oliveira surprised the man he sent to jail by joining him for the entire night.
We ate meatloaf, and we talked about a lot of things.
We talked about our families.
And the walls got further apart?
The walls just got, they didn't exist anymore. He brought me back to North Carolina from being in a truck in Afghanistan. That meant so much to me, sir.
I mean,
this week, Joe promised the judge no more mess-ups.
I don't want to let you down, ever.
It's not how law and order usually works.
Right, sir.
But sometimes jail is not what a man needs. Sometimes the best sentence is compassion.
Thank you, breathe me.
Steve Hartman, on the road, in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And compassion heals.
That's right, compassion and love heals. You know, so let's be mindful of the people around us who may need understanding and love and some of your time and your compassion. And, you know, please be mindful and notice people around you, you know, and there's so much hatred that's taking over our world and hearts that wax cold because of the iniquity, you know, like it says in the Bible. But we are children of the light. We are God's children, God's chosen children, to make a difference in our world. We can't do it alone. It says in John 15:5, without Jesus, we can do nothing. So always include God and his son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. It's about 10 minutes left of the show, and I'd like to take this time to first of all welcome everybody again who was in the chat room, CG and our guest, and Olivia, and all of you listening on your iPads, iPhones, and who will be listening in the archive. I'm going to lift up people in prayer right now, and even if you have an unspoken request, rest assured I'll address that tonight. CG was a really nice judge, a very understanding, compassionate one. God bless him. Okay, Heavenly Father, God, in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I lift up to you tonight all of our precious military and our veterans, and all of those who have served in our country now, presently, who will serve in the future, and who have served. And I ask that you put a hedge of protection around them and their families and loved ones, that you provide for them, raise up people and raise up moving the hearts of those who can help these precious ones when they return, and while their families are here waiting for them, provide for them, Father. Move mightily, like you did when Peter prayed. You moved on 3,000 people, and they got saved, Father. Well, I'm asking that you move on our United States of America and heal our land, Father, and bring back. We invite you back into the United States of America. And I lift up all of our firefighters and the homeless precious ones that are in the communities and are stigmatized with all kinds of judgment and pointing of the finger and hurtful comments and people that are shunning them. And Lord, I lift them up to you tonight. And I lift up Lee and Ralph's mom, and Val, and Barry, and Jacob, and Chaplain Steve, and Eric, and Nikki, Drew, and Chris, and Olivia, and CG, and a guest, and Heavenly Deposit, the movie, with Rick, and with George. They're going to be having a new website next week, and we lift them up to you, Father God, and we lift up all the persecuted Christians in the world and their loved ones, Father. And we pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Father. And we pray for all of those who have unspoken requests and have a need from you, Father. You know who they are. You know what they need. And we lift them up to you right now, Father God. And we ask that you meet every one of their needs. We lift up Olivia to you. We ask that you heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet and all points in between, that you prosper her and bring her into a place of blessing, Father God. And I lift up my sister Cynthia and my loved ones and my family members who aren't saved, and I pray for their salvation. And I pray for those who need salvation, Father, that you move mightily in their lives, Father God. That you move mightily and draw them close to you, Father. Draw them close to you and let them feel your presence. Let them reveal yourself to them in a concrete way. Let them feel your love, Father God. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Meet all of their needs. Protect us. Keep us safe, Father. And please heal our land. And I pray that there's enough believers in the world and in the United States that can come to you and ask that you heal our land, Father. And I pray for Patty from Chapel of the Hills, and I lift her up to you and ask that you keep her safe and bless the work of her hands. Bless the church, Emmanuel and Terry and Marlene and Lee and our sisters and brothers and at Chapel of the Hills Church, Father, and Beth Amunah. God bless them, Father, and we just thank you for an opportunity to come together tonight and lift all our petitions up to you, knowing that you hear and that you reach from heaven and that you will perform miracles and bring healing to our land and to each of us, and help us to be lights, help the broken vessel to be used by you, Father God. We praise you. We give you all the glory, and we love you, give you honor and praise to your name. We give you deep gratitude and thanksgiving for everything you have done, you will do, and that you're going to do. Lord, help us to be a light and to keep our focus on you at all times. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to play this next song to take us out. We only have a few minutes left here. And I wanted to encourage all of you that no matter in the eye of the storm, no matter what goes on, we look to God and we love him, and he is right there with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, no matter what challenge we're going through. So this is called The Eye of the Storm. God bless you all. See you next Saturday. And please tune in. The last two of my shows, the last one will be September 10th. It'll be a three-hour show. I hope you can call in. And next week we're going to promote Heavenly Deposit, which will be coming out next year, a wonderful movie of the Lord. And just thank you all again, and God bless you, and thank you for coming tonight, and be safe.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, when the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, when my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You only got a few months left. It's like a bitter pill I'm swallowing. I can barely take a breath. And when addiction steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, my soul, you alone are the anchor.
I want to wish you all a good night, and guest and CG and Olivia, thank you for listening to the show tonight. I love you guys and hope you come back next Saturday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Remember, angeloflovministry.com. My email is there. I'd love to hear from you and any prayer requests you might have. Good night and God bless you all.